of Zion. When it says by Ace of Ishio Day at Saif Isode, a man who Yodea say knows how to hunt. So Rashi says, Rashi brings down from Chazal, a famous Chazal, that when it says that he liked to catch, he liked to hunt, there's a double meaning. First of all, he liked to hunt, and the second meaning is he liked to trick people, to make people believe things that aren't so. It's also called hunting, because you are trying to hunt their opinion. Says Rashi as an example. Yodea Tzai Lotsut Uleramois Es Ovid Visholat Oi Abo Heich Measines Amelach Vesateve. How do you take miser from salt and from straw? So I saw in a sefer Shemi Shmuel. What's really the meaning of it? Why specifically from salt and from straw? So fine, he wants to fool his father, that his father should think, you see, he wants to take miser from salt. See, that's, he's a machmir. See, of course, I mean, he's going to take miser from fruits if he wants to take miser from salt and straw. But the Shem Yisrael says, obviously, the use of the two examples, salt and straw, must be significant, and he must tell you something concerning the personality of Esav. This is like this. What is the whole idea of miser? The whole idea of miser is the recognition that there is kedusha in something. For instance, there is kedusha in food, so you can concentrate the kedusha in the miser. Then the rest can become chulin. In other words, you separate, you put one tenth aside for something, for a holy purpose, you sanctify it. So that sanctifies the holiness, it concentrates the holiness of something. Now, where does the holiness come from? From the fact that it's food. I mean, there is miser usually on fruits, on grain, and animals. Meaning things that are used by the human being for consumption. Now, we know that food usually has something like a shell that covers it. A klipo. A shell that covers it. It says, the Shem Yisrael brings it down from the Zohar, from others, that the relationship between Yaakov and Esau is really the relationship in a fruit of the most important part, the edible part, and the shell, the klipo. Esau is the klipo. And Yaakov, he's the food itself. Okay? Now, the klipo, the shell, serves a purpose. As long as the shell is around the edible part, then it fulfills its purpose. But when the shell ceases to cover the fruit, it loses its meaning, it loses its purpose also. Right? The shell only has a purpose when it guards the fruit itself. In other words, Esav can fulfill his essence, he can fulfill his objective in this world, as long as he uses his natural tendencies, his natural capacities, for the sake of Yaakov. Then he is the shell, he is the klipo, and Yaakov is the essence. Okay? Now, what about when the klipo will start saying, hey, I'm as important as the food itself? Right? At that point, it loses its purpose, because the importance of the klipo is the fruit. Meaning, the shell is only important because there is fruit and it guards the fruit. The moment the shell will start feeling that it's important for its own sake, then it loses its importance because it's not important for its own sake. Now, why is it that you don't take maser from shells. Now, in reality, the shell is part of the fruit. I mean, if you give maser from the shells as part of the fruit, then it's okay. Then the maser is chal. But if you take maser separately from the grain itself, then of course it's not chal at all, because it's not an edible food. It has no purpose. Now, what is salt? Salt is something which is added to the food in order that it should last for a long time, or in order to give it taste. But it's something completely separate from the food. In other words, even though, let's take salt as something that improves the taste, even though the salt will improve the taste, you try to eat salt all by itself and you just won't enjoy it. Meaning, it can't serve a purpose by itself. The purpose of the salt is what it does for the food. The same thing as a salt as a preservative, which is usually the symbolism in the Torah of Melach. Melach preserves. It maintains something forever. So it's very important. But if there is no food to preserve, what good is the salt? The same thing is with chaff, the tebel, the straw. What is the straw? The straw is very important. As long as you have a grain of wheat, you need the chaff to guard it, to take care of it. But if you are going to say, Ketzad me'asrin es ha'tebel ve'samelach, what do you express? You're expressing the intrinsic importance of the chaff and the salt, which it doesn't have. So what is Esau really expressing? It was that his self-importance, independent of the food itself. That's the miser. Now, he was in Ketzad me'asrin, which means, why? I mean, there should definitely be maser. Maser represents the concentration of Kedusha, even on melach and tebel. Now, that expresses his essence. The purpose of Esav is to be melach and tebel. That's what he's supposed to do. What is Esav's purpose? To take care of Yaakov. Had he done that, he would have fulfilled his essence. But he wants to have fulfill his essence independent of Yaakov. It's like the shell claiming, I am important independently of the food. Independently of the food, you are nothing. The salt is nothing, and the chaff is nothing. This is what it's expressed with Ketzad me'asrin es ha'tebel ve'samelach. He is compared to Teben and Melach in relationship with Yaakov. He wanted to have his own self-importance. That didn't work. Okay? That's what the Shemish Mo says. Now, in chapter 26, Vayehi ro'ov bo'oretz, and there was a drought in the land where Yitzchok lived, Milvato rovo rishon asher yomimei Avraham. Besides that original drought that was bimei Avraham, which tells you that there were no droughts between the first and the second, and Yitzchok follows the advice of his father, or the derech of his father. What did his father do when there was a drought in Eretz Yisrael? Went down to Egypt. So he also wants to go down to Egypt. So on the way, he comes to Gror, where the Plishtim are. It's still part of Eretz Israel, right? But it's on the way towards Egypt, right? It's Bershe, towards the south, southwest, towards Egypt. So at that point, Vayera Lov Hashem, it was in bed, Vayera Lov Hashem, Vayemer, Al Teret Mitzrayim, don't go down to Egypt. Shechoim Boretz Asher Oymar Elecho, says Rashi, because Yitzchok is an Oilot Mimo, he's a Korban. And he reached a level of spiritual perfection in the Akedah. So part of that spiritual perfection demands that he should live like the perfect Jew lives. The perfect Jew lives only in Eretz Yisrael, right? It's part of the flaws of the Jew that he lives outside of Eretz Yisrael. Yitzchok, that represents the ideal Jew, right? The Jew who is completely subservient to Hashem. Such a Jew can't live outside of Eretz Yisrael. This is why he's not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael, even though his father did leave Eretz Yisrael. So, Gur Boretz Azois. Ve'heyeimcho v'avorechecho. Ki lechol zaracho etenes kol arotzoi so'el ve'akimois yestashuvo. Because someday I'll fulfill the shvua to Avraham Avinu. All this land will be the Jews. In other words, the goal of the Jewish people will be fulfilled. Therefore, it says like this in verse number 4. V'hirbeisi ezarachok ekoch ve'ashomayim. Now, there are three types of brachas that our patriarchs are given, our always are given concerning their descendants. The three brachas are the following. One, kechoil asher al sfas hayom, the sand by the sea. Two, keafar ho'oretz. And three, kekochvei hashamayim. So even though on the surface all three of them mean the same thing, a lot, multiplication, quantity, but each one has a different meaning as far as the qualitative nature of the broken. So in the Mefarshim it says that the only broken which is given to the Jew when he is fulfilled, now it's not in exile, when he's completely fulfilled, is only kikoch v'yashomayim. Why? Because what is the symbolism of kechoil asher al sfas hayom? So it says in the Mefarshim that metaphorically speaking, the sand, when you see a stormy sea, right? The waves attack the shore. That's the way it looks. The waves are attacking the shore. And of course, it seems that the waves are going to overcome the shore. Who wins at the end? When everything calms down at the end, the sand is still there and the sea retreats. That symbolizes the strength of the Jew, even though he seems so weak and he has to overcome the onslaught of the waves that try to attack him, but the sand always wins. Okay, that's the symbolism of the broch of the sand, but it's a broch when we are attacked, not in a state of perfection. A state of perfection, we are not attacked. Now, the second broch is ke'afar ha'oretz. What is the broch of afar ha'oretz? It says in the portion like this. At the end of the Shmoneh Esrei, after we finish the Amboreches Amo Yisrael Basholoim, we say a personal prayer, right? It's mentioned in the Gemara, Mar Berei the Rabino's prayer, Netzor Leshoini Meiro. Help me, after I already asked for everything I need, now I want to ask not to get into any trouble, right? Because Shmoneh Esrei is to ask for solutions to my problems. So the added prayer is, but help me, God, not to get into any trouble. Usually, what gets you into trouble? Your tongue. You say the wrong thing. So you say, Netzor Leshoini Meiro, Usfosai Medaber Mirmo, I shouldn't get into trouble, right? Vilim Kalelai, and if there are people who want to do me harm, Nafshi Sidoi, now I should learn to have strength, not to react, Venafshi Keofor Lakoltie. Now, what is the nature of Ofor? So it says like this. Ofor is something which is very beneficial, very important. It serves a very important purpose. Nobody pays attention to Ofor. You don't pay attention. It doesn't create any antagonism, Ofor. It doesn't stand in anybody's way. You just walk all over it. Now, in Golis, one of the greatest curses of the Jews is when they awaken the antagonism, when they show off what they have, when they show off their success. And at that point, our enemies are, their hatred is awakened, and that's when we get into trouble. Since the whole tefillah is that we shouldn't get into trouble, so the broche that applies is nafshi keofor lakol tiyeh. That is the broche of Ofor. The broche of Ofor is the capacity of the Jew that while he's doing positive things, he doesn't create antagonism by our neighbors. Again, this is a broche de chayach in exile, when the situation is not perfect. What is the broche of the stars? The stars is when you do notice them, right? You do notice, it's not like the dust. You do notice the stars. But when is a chayach to fulfill the broche of the stars? Only in a perfect situation. In other words, when Mashiach will come, this will be the fulfillment of kekoch v'yashamayim. Not in exact, when each Jew will shine, it will give off light. That is the symbolism of Yemois HaMashiach, of the perfect time, or the periods in Jewish history that were close to Yemois HaMashiach. You know what it says, for instance, that we came very often in a few places close to Yemois HaMashiach. For instance, the whole period of Shlomo HaMelech, the Malchus Shlomo HaMelech, is considered Me'ein Yemois HaMashiach, right? It had a lot of ingredients that are very similar to Yemois HaMashiach. Number one, the name Shlomo. What does that mean? What does Shlomo mean? Shalom Boris, the complete peace that the Jews went through in the period of Shlomo HaMelech was similar to the peace and the safety that they will feel in Moshe HaMashiach. All the Gentiles accepted the wisdom of Shlomo HaMelech, that is, the prophecy of Yeshayahu, Anovi, Kimitzion, Teitzei, Soren, Rashem, Yerushalayim, the recognition of all the Goyim, that the wisdom is in Eretz Israel, Shlomo HaMelech. You know, the whole period of Shlomo HaMelech is Me'eini Moshe HaMashiach. Then it was Kekoich Ve'Hashamayim. Now, since Yitzchok is now told to stay in Eretz Israel as a sign for the future when all Jews will be able to stay in Eretz Israel without being thrown out, then the proper bracha is Kekoch V'Hashamayim. That's what Hashem is promising it. This is why, because from the three blessings, the one that's fitting up in this particular bracha, this is not the bracha of survival in exile. This is the bracha of Jews attaching themselves to Eretz Israel. At that point, the bracha is Kekoch V'Hashamayim, of course. Now, let's skip to Kechol Hayam is specifically when we have enemies.
Before Mashiach, Arab Israel.
Right, even it's all an exile. Before Mashiach, it's in one degree or another, it is an exile. Remember, exile doesn't mean only outside of Eretz Israel. We call the Yovon, Golus Yovon, for instance, the Greek exile. Where was that? In Eretz Israel, during the Second Temple. You know, exile doesn't mean necessarily outside of Eretz Israel. It's called Golus. Golus Yovon is Eretz Israel. Under the Greeks, it's Golus Yovon. When after the victory of the Maccabees, then we became independent, right? The Maccabee victory is also Me'ein Yemois HaMoshiach, when the Jews reached a level of independence in Eretz Israel itself. But so that's what I mean, that exile doesn't mean necessarily outside of Eretz Israel. Posuk 7, Vayishalu Anshei HaMokoyim Le'ishtoi, people asked about his wife, Vayoymer, Achoy Sihi, she's my sister, Maiseo Vayishem Eleboni, right? He follows whatever Avraham Avinu did, that's what Yitzchak does. And it's an amazing thing. I want you to remember what the Ramban says. When the Ramban talks about Avraham Avinu, that he decided to leave Eretz Israel and go to Egypt, and he decided to lie and say sorry that is his sister, he says that Avraham Avinu committed a chet bishgogo. He committed a sin, unintentionally. That's what he says. I mean, very strong words, he says. He made a mistake, terrible mistake. He should have had faith in God and not have to lie and not leave Eretz Israel. Here we have Yitzchak doing exactly what his father did. At the last moment, Hashem stops him and tells him, don't go to Egypt. But the lie is the same. Then we see the power of Maaseh Ovoysem Elevonim. For Avraham Avinu, it was a mistake. But once he establishes the pattern, then the son will do exactly the same. In other words, maybe it was a mistake for him to do it in the first place. But once he establishes the pattern, we must follow it. Meaning, we don't, Maaseh Ovoysem Elevonim has the strength that even if it was wrong when it was started, once it's established, it's followed. So Yitzchak Avinu is doing the same thing. And if you take a look at the Ramban here, not a word of criticism about Yitzchak. Amazing. About Avraham, he criticizes. About Yitzchak, he doesn't say a word, obviously, because Yitzchak, that's the way to do it. Once his father establishes the pattern, he has to follow it.
Even though it's a mistake?
Even though it was a mistake. That's the amazing thing according to Ramban.
Is it a mistake with Yitzchak or not anymore?
Not anymore. I mean, if the Ramban doesn't even criticize it. So by Yitzchak it's no mistake, it's only a mistake by Avraham Avinu. So why isn't it a mistake by Yitzchak? Obviously because once the pattern is established, it's Maaseh Ovoysem Eleboni, that's it. Now, listen to this story. They ask him who it is and he says, that's my sister, because she's very good looking and he's afraid that they are going to kill him in order to take his wife. Take a look in Posuk Chet. Vayehi, and it was, ki orchu loy shom hayomim. Now obviously what the Torah seems to be saying is after a long time. It's a very odd way to say after a long time. The normal way is vayi acharei yomim rabim, vayi, whatever. I mean, there are many ways for the Torah to say it. Why use the expression, and it was after orchu loy hayomim, the days lengthened for him, as if he is a special clerk, that for him the days lengthened. Why this expression? And he says, Shom, as if time at that there was longer. What does it mean, time was longer there than somewhere else? One problem. Next. Vayashkeit Avimelech, Melech Plishtim, Be'ad HaChaloy. Obviously, what the Torah wants to say, that Avimelech looked out the window. Very, very difficult. Usually, looking out the window, it's either Vayistakel, he saw Derech HaChaloy. Vayar Derech HaChaloy. What is this? Be'ad HaChaloy. Vayashkev, the word Vayashkev is a very unusual word in the Torah. Vayashkev, it says usually, and the Chazal say, whenever, for instance, when the Malochim look at Sodom and are ready to destroy it, says Vayashkev, Vayashkev, it says. And the Gemara says, because every Hashkofo, whenever it says Hashkofo in the Torah, is Lero'o, when you are planning to do something bad. I mean, if all the Torah wanted to tell me is that Avimelech happened to be going by the window and look out the window, and he sees across the street, and that's what it sounds like, right? Yitzchok, who lives across the street, right, of the palace, unusual, right? Unusual, but that's what it seems. He sees Yitzchok metzacheik es Rivko ishtoi. Yitzchok is laughing with Rivko. That's just a euphemism for, obviously, doing things that husband and wife do, not brother and sister. Okay? Again, the facts are difficult. The facts are difficult, and the words are difficult. The facts are difficult, that he's looking out the window and he sees Yitzchok. You know, if Yitzchok lives exactly across the street of Avimelech, the palace of Avimelech, boom, there was a hotel right next door. It's so difficult. And that Yitzchok, knowing that he's trying to cover up the fact that they are husband and wife, he wouldn't have taken precautions. Very, very unlikely. Yitzchok wouldn't have taken precautions. He became careless after at a certain point. What's going on? What are the facts? And by coincidence, Avimelech should be able to, that, and he knows the window is open and he can be seen from that other window, and he doesn't. Doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense.
And the way he calls out to him also is like, you know, he's calling out the window, asking him, saying, oh, well, she's not my sister, really. It's like that whole thing there.
It's happening through the window, you mean?
Through the window.
Well, obviously, there is something wrong with the facts. And the words are very difficult, as I told you. First of all, starting with the Orchu Loi Shom Hayomim, the lengthened time, the way the Torah expresses that, the word Vayashkei, is very difficult. And then what happens then? Vayikra Avimelech li Yitzchok. And Avimelech calls Yitzchok and he says, you see, she's your wife. And you tell me that she's your sister. So Yitzchok says, listen, you know, I don't want to die, so that's why I said. So Avimelech doesn't accept his apology and he says, how could you have done such a thing? Look what you did to us. Almost one of our people would have done something that would have been wrong. Now, he's not worried about his wife being raped, big deal, but one of our people would do something wrong. I can't stand for it. Now, up to now, did it work, Yitzchok's method, to say she's my sister? All right, nobody did anything to Rivka, right? So Avimelech announces, listen to this, talk if you doubt it. Vaitzava Mimelech Eskolom Lemor, Hanoi Geya Boisha Zeuvishtoi Moishimos. Why did he have to do it for? What for? Don't say anything. People still think it's brothers and sisters. Let him believe it's brothers and sisters. What do you care? If you are worried about the wife, so let him go ahead with the lie. You see it work. They are there for a long time. Nobody did anything. Why do you have to announce they are brothers and sisters? I mean, that they are husband and wife. But anybody who touches her, Moishimos. What's the point? And then, all of a sudden, in Posukut Bet, Vayizra Yitzchok Bo'oretz Hayi, and Yitzchok started planting. What does that have to do with the story? I mean, he has been there for a long time. Why didn't he plant before? What happened? What is the connection? What is the continuity? Once Avimelech announced it, so he started planting. So let me tell you, putting together what the Malbim says, and now the main one is the Malbim. Malbim says like this, you see. Yitzchok lives in Gror. Now, Abimelech is a very important figure in Gror. He's a father figure. Abimelech, and it's not by coincidence. He's like a father and a melech. He's the tzaddik of the city. Everybody comes to him for advice. Right? All of a sudden, this man comes, Yitzchok. And all of a sudden, people started saying, or Abimelech feels that people started saying, you know, why go to Abimelech? You know, Yitzchok, he's the tzaddik. Right? Ask advice from him. Ask him what to do. And he'll tell you all about monotheism, the belief in Hashem, like his father Abraham Avinu. That's what he does. So after a while, Abimelech couldn't stand Yitzchok's presence in the city. He just couldn't stand it. But what can he say? Go away because I don't like you. I mean, you can't say it. You're a person with status. You can't just express such a feeling like, you know, you're taking away from my important position. Leave. So Abimelech decides, I have to find a flaw in Yitzchok that will make him lose the status that he has in the community. I just can't stand having him around, says the Malbim. The stay of Yitzchok in the eyes of Abimelech was that the days became too long. What is always the expression of the days? Like when you can't stand that situation, the days never end. That's what it says. Vayhi ki orchu lo yishom hayomim. To him, and that was to Abimelech, the days were non-ending. You know, the presence of Yitzchok bothered him to such a degree that he couldn't stand it anymore. So he decided, I'll put my spies over there. They'll find something wrong with Yitzchok. That's the word vayashkev. Vayashkev doesn't mean that he looked. It means he put agents to look for something bad. And this fits with a chazal that say, whenever it says ashkopo, is lero, is to look for something bad, like the malochim looking at Sdoim. He put up spies in order to find fault with Yitzchok. And he told the spies, you look for things on the other side of the window. What is the symbolism of on the other side of the window? Not public things. In public, then Yitzchok is a big tzaddik. I want you to find out any way you want to. Find out private things. What do they speak to each other about? Maybe there is something that they do. Who knows? So the spies come back with a report. You know what? They are husband and wife. Great, says Abimelech. I got it. So what does he do? He announces in public. Yes. Why does he have to announce? You should know. Nobody touched this woman. I mean, if you're worried about the woman, don't say anything. People will continue thinking they are a brother and sister. Nobody did anything up to now. He wanted to make sure that people lose respect for Yitzchok. His announcement. Anybody who touches the wife of this person, Moishumos, what is he saying? In a nice way. Yitzchok is a liar, my friend. Did you know you have such a respect for him? He's such a great man. He's a liar. So what happened? Abimelech was successful. People stopped talking to Yitzchok. And Yitzchok had nothing to do. He had nothing to do. Now people wouldn't come to him anymore. So he decided to spend time doing something else. Now the success that he had before in personal relations with the people, now he's going to apply it with other things. What? Planting. This is Posuk Yud Bet. This is the connection. Posuk Yud Aleph says the announcement. Anybody touches this woman, the wife of this man, Moishumos. In other words, everybody should know Yitzchok is a liar. What is the next Posuk Yud Bet? Yitzchok says planting. What else can he do? And the same success that he had in talking to people, now he has in planting. And what happens? He reaches a level of Meyor She'orim. Meyor She'orim, you know what? Meyor She'orim is an expression of success. 100-fold what usually the crop comes out to. Meyor She'orim. Vayimtzo bashono ayim Meyor She'orim. Vayivorachehu Hashem. And in Posuk Yudim, Vayigdalo ish vayelech olech v'godel. The opposite of Abimelech. When he became so successful and people saw that God is with him, then all the success came back to him. You know, through the success that he had materially, he again attracted all the people with him, and they were on his side.
That's the survivor of Hashem.
Everybody saw that Hashem blessed him. So, Vahiloi Mikne, and he had this and that, he had everything. So then it says like this. Posuk Tesvo, the whole story with the Be'eros, with the wells. The Chola Be'eros Asher Chofru Abdei Ovid. Avram Avinu also was in Gror. Remember, Avram Avinu was in Gror. And he dug wells. Remember, in those areas, nothing is as important as water. And Avram Avinu found water. What do? They covered it up. They covered up the wells. The Chola Be'eros Asher Chofru Abdei Ovid Me Avram Avinu Sitmum Plishtim Vaymalum Ofor. They covered it with Ofor. What does that have to do with anything? We don't know. We don't know, because this has nothing to do with the success of Yitzchok. So we should know that there is no water. Vayomer Avimelech el Yitzchok leich meimonu ki otzamto mimenu me'oy. And Avimelech says at this point he throws him out. Interesting. Now he throws him out, not before. Why? Because he says ki otzamto mimenu me'oy. Your strength you took from us. Mimenu, from us. That is the classical claim of anti-Semite. You are rich, you are draining our wealth. Otherwise you wouldn't be rich, otherwise we would have that wealth. Therefore leave, because you are draining our wealth. Ki otzamto mimenu me'oy. So vayelech misham Yitzchok vayechan benachal Gror vayeshev shom. So he goes to an area outside of the city limits. It's not called Gror anymore, it's called Nachal Gror. Vayeshev shom. Now, Vayoshev Yitzchok vayachpor es Be'eros Hamayim asher chofru b'mei Avram Avinu. He redug the same wells that Avram Avinu had dug. What's the importance of it? I mean, who cares if he dug the same wells or different wells? No, the Torah says. He dug the same wells. Vayastatmum plishtim, that the plishtim covered it up. Vaykrolohim shem mois, even called them names. Ka shem mois asher korolohim aviv. What is the importance of that? He called them names. Each be'er had a name. Why would a be'er have a name? What is the importance of the fact that they had a name? Why does the Torah have to tell you that they had a name? And not only any name, it was exactly the same name that Avram Avinu called it. Right? Again, what's the Torah trying to tell me? Posuk 19, finished. So once he finished digging all those wells that Avram had dug, now we come to something new. Posuk 19. Vayachperu avdei Yitzchok banochal vayimtzu shom be'er mayim chayim. In the nochal, in the river bed, right, that was dry, they dug and they found water. Came the roye gror. The roye gror come from the city, and this is outside of the city limits. Outside of the city limits, it's public, everybody can dig. And they say, no, it's lonu hamayim. The water is ours. Which means, sure, the hole is yours. But the water under it comes from the water in our city, so therefore you can take the water. The water is ours. Vayikro shema be'er esek. And they call the be'er esek. Esek, like fight, like, I think, sorry, what?
Strife,
contention. Vayachperu be'racheres. So then they dug another one. Vayorivu gamaleo, and the second one also. There was a fight about the second one too. Vaykroshmo sitno. Sitno is already a different word. Sitno comes from the word sotn. Sotn means, like a real, like sotn. Not stomach, a contention, a fight. I mean, sotn. What? And it's right, it is, but it's a very strong one because it comes from the word sotn, that means the antagonist par excellence. Right, but a very strong one. Right now it's much more than Asek.
Like already now bothersome.
Right. Vaya take Mishon, and then he left from that second place and he went to a third place. Vaya for Beracheres. Veloyu Robu Aleo, there was no fight. No fight, for some reason no fight.
Vaikroshmo rechovos.
Rechovos. Rechovos means like wide areas, like breathing space.
Kiato, vayomer kiato, hirchiv Hashem lonu.
Now we feel the archovo that Hashem gave us.
Uforinu bo'oretz,
and now we can really be fruitful in this land. What's really going on here? What's the importance of telling us the details, the names, the fights? What's going on here? Says the Ramban here, right here on this.
First of all, you know, the Torah talks in one level, but at the same time, something else is going on at another other level completely.
I mean, and it's true in both levels.
Or in all 70 levels. I mean, whatever level you understand the Torah in, at that level it's true. So there's no question about it. There are wells, but at the same time, the Torah is telling you something else, like a whole different history,
because we know the symbolism of Be'er. The Be'er represents the Torah. Why? Because Mayim el Torah. So, first of all, let's try to understand here. Avraham Avinu, what did Avraham Avinu do? We know what he did. He went from place to place, legadel shmo yitbarach, to make sure that people recognize the name of Hashem. That was the purpose of Avraham Avinu. In other words, Avraham Avinu used to teach whatever level of Torah was shaya, was proper for each group, for each generation. Now, if it says here that the Be'eros that Avraham Avinu dug up were covered up by the Plishtim, once we understand that the Be'eros have a different level of understanding, obviously it's talking about the Plishtim undoing everything that Avraham Avinu did. In other words, all the teachings of Avraham Avinu were covered up with dust by the Plishtim, which means that they made sure that they uprooted all the things that this Plishtim learned from Avraham Avinu. Okay? Now, if it says that Yitzchak dug up the exact same wells, what it really means is that he brought back all the chokhmah and all the insights and all the truths that Avraham Avinu had taught the Plishtim. He came and he taught them again. Right? Now, at which point does he do it? After Abimelech announces that he's a liar, nobody wants to have anything to do with Yitzchak. Once Yitzchak becomes materially successful, everybody attaches himself to Yitzchak. So now he can start digging wells. Remember, the digging wells means teaching Torah, teaching the truth. When can he teach the truth? Once people see him as somebody that God blessed. So people start attaching themselves to him. So all those wells that the Plishtim tried to be covered up, he uncovers. And he calls it the shame, the name. You know the word shame always represents. Shame represents truth. Because you can only name something if you know the essence of it. I told you that's what the Mefarshim say, shame chom the office. Shame, he represents Torah. Avraham Avinu is a descendant of shame. Shame represents understanding the world through intellectually. Shame, knowing something, the truth of something, is being able to name it. That's the shame. So he called it a name. In other words, he was able to teach shemos, which means truth. This is what Avraham Avinu does. And what does the next portion mean? That Yitzchak dug up one well and a second well. So he says like this, the Ramban. What is the well? And I was the place that represents the Mokor of Torah in the world, where the Luchos were kept. What is that place that symbolically represents the well of Torah to the world? That's the Beis Hamikdash, of course. This is the Beis Hamikdash, where the Orah is. So if it says that the first Be'er that he built, that they dug up, that there was a fight. And they called it Asik, like a fight, like a strife. The second Be'er, that was much, much deeper. That was a real Sotan. You know who the Sotan is. You know the statement in Chazal? Who has Sotan? Who Esav? Who Malach HaMoves? The same Malach that's called Malochoy Shel Esav is the same he's the Sotan, he's the Malach HaMoves. The second Beit HaMikdash was destroyed by whom? By Esav. He's the Sotan, that's Tzikno. That's Tzikno. It's much deeper than just
a strife. So the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed by the Sotah.
Spite?
What?
How do you translate that? Spite?
Sikna? Sotah, like the antagonist. The antagonist, the antagonist, that's the Sotah of Klal Yisrael. That's Esau, that's Rome. The third Be'er, what's the third Be'er then? The third Beis HaMikdash, nobody will fight over it. Right? That's the Beis HaMikdash that doesn't accept any fight. There is no room for fight, that, right? And this is why the third one is Rechovot, which means when there is plenty of room for everybody, we don't have to fight for anything. That's the third Beis HaMikdash. So I just made an observation following the Ramban's Pshat.
Ramban.
What?
Ramban.
Ramban. Ramban's Pshat. It's very interesting. If you take a look at the first and second well, first well in Pasuk Yutes, Vayachperu Avdei Yitzchok Banochal. Vayachperu, plural. Second well, Pasuk 21, Chopale, Vayachperu Beir Acheres, plural. Interesting. In the third well, in Pasuk Chof Beis, it says Vayatek Misham, Vayachpor Be'er Acheres, and he dug. You know, according to the Chazal, the tradition that the third Beis HaMikdash won't be a human hand. I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean. I mean, we are many guys that it will be human beings that will build it, but it's Hashem that builds it, really, which means. It has to be Hashem, because only Hashem is eternal, and He can only build something which is going to be eternal. Third Beis HaMikdash is going to be eternal, it has to be Hashem who builds it. So it's very significant. The first two Be'eros is plural. The third Be'er is Vayachpor, a hint to the singular one that is going to be building the third Beis HaMikdash. So it fits perfectly with the Ramban's interpretation of the symbolism of the three Be'eros. Okay, we'll stop there.